Hi everybody, this is Rob Windsor from Object Sharp Consulting, based in Toronto, Canada. And in this video, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about using client-side templates and client-side data mining in ASP.NET Ajax. So before we get started with the demo, it's worth mentioning that at the same time Microsoft released Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2 and the .NET Framework 4 Beta 2, they announced that they're taking the client-side part of ASP.NET Ajax out of the framework. It's going to be a separate download, and this allows Microsoft to version the client libraries for ASP.NET Ajax much more often than they can version the framework itself or release service packs and so on. So there's basically two ways for you to use the most recent client-side libraries. One is to go to ajax.codeplex.com and then download the libraries from there. The current release is the beta release. It's the 0911 beta. And the second is to actually use the new Microsoft Ajax Content Delivery Network, where instead of you downloading the files and including them as part of your project, you can actually just link up to a Microsoft server and download them directly from there. So if you know, like for example, if you have an internet application and you know you're going to be connected to the internet reliably, you can go get your libraries directly from Microsoft and not have to worry about including them with each website that you're going to build using these technologies. So I have already downloaded the Ajax library beta, and that's what we'll be using in this demo. Okay, so let's get started with the demo. Now I'm going to be using Visual Studio 2010 beta 2, but I could be using Visual Studio 2008 or even Visual Studio 2005, because the client-side libraries we'll be using aren't tied to the actual .NET framework in any way. They're just JavaScript libraries. I could even be doing, you know, Perl development with Eclipse and still be able to use these libraries. So the fact that I'm using 2010 here is not important. It just happens to be the IDE that I have available for me right now. So let's go ahead and say File, New, Website, and we'll pick an empty website, and we'll call this website Client Templates. Click OK. And let's go ahead and create an HTML page. I'll use an HTML page instead of an ASPX page, again, to just emphasize the decoupling of the client-side libraries with the .NET framework. So I'll say here, add new item, and we'll find an HTML page. We'll call this default.htm and click add. I'm going to want some styles, so let's go ahead and add a style sheet. So I'll say add new item, and I'll say style sheet here. We'll call this site.css. And click add. I have some styles pre-prepared here just to avoid you having to watch me type them out. So I'll just go ahead and add those into our site.css. And then I'll come over here and include site.css in our page. I'll link to it. Okay, so the next thing I want to do is add a table to my page. The part of this demo will be showing some product data, and we're going to show it in two different ways. One is a table to view the product data, and then later on in the demo, when we select a row in the table, we'll show the details of that and allow us to edit them. So I've just got the table roughed out here, have some headers, and then I have some areas where we can show data sort of roughed in. Right. So at this point, if I run the page, we can see sort of the hard-coded version of the page. So there's our table, right? And now what we're going to do is we're going to create a client-side JavaScript library. So I'll have some hard-coded JavaScript objects, and then we'll use the templating mechanism to bind those objects to the body of the table. And then the last part of the demo, we'll be removing the hard-coded JavaScript library and actually binding to data coming from a web service that's hooked up to the Northwind database. All right, so let's come up to the top here. Let's add a script block and actually just make some more room. Maybe we'll even go full screen here. Okay, so let's just say angle bracket script. Now, I don't know if you can see this, but there's actually code snippets now in HTML markup or the ASPX markup and the JavaScript as well. So I can go ahead and make use of those just by completing the template or the snippet by saying tab tab here. And let's go ahead and create our array. So I'll say var products is equal to, and in JavaScript arrays are surrounded by square braces. So let's go ahead and just do that, and then we'll create some JavaScript objects here. And Visual Studio is wanting to indent for me, so I'll go with it. So JavaScript objects are name value pairs surrounded by curly braces. So we'll say here that the name of the property is product name, and then its value is T. Then we're going to have a unit price, and I want to capitalize the P there. And its value will be, say, $11.99. And then I want to have a units in stock, and say we'll have 10 units of T. And let's go ahead and create just a few more of these guys. Whoops, try that again. Okay, so let's have soda and milk and juice. And we'll just change these prices around. So 21, say 17, and 35. And then units in stock, we'll just sort of go 20, 30, 40. Okay, so there we go. So there's our array. And now the next thing we want to do is we're going to want to bind the properties of these objects into the rows here in the table. Okay, so the way we can define that, or way that we can declare that, is through this templating mechanism. So we can indicate here that I want this table data, or table detail, to be populated by the object that's being bound to the table body. I want its product name property. And then here I can say this should be the unit price. And then finally, this should be the units in stock. Whoops. So my table body now becomes a template which defines how I want the UI to end up looking once I've done the data binding. Another thing I need to do for this to work properly is I need to indicate to ASP.NET that, actually, I should say more, I want to indicate to the client-side libraries that this is actually a template. And the way I do that is by giving it a specific class name. And the class name is sys-template. Now, I don't have to have defined this in my CSS, but the standard practice is that you will make this hidden to start out with. So we can see here's my sys-template, and I'm saying that we're hiding this. The reason being is that when my page first renders, I don't want these templates to be shown to the user. So what will happen is, at the point that I actually data bind to the table body, the client-side libraries will go ahead and change that from hidden to visible for me. It's just automatic. All right, so now that I've defined my template, I need to define the object that I'm going to use to indicate the data binding. So basically, you know, in ASP.NET web forms, we have the data source controls. So the object data source, the link data source, and so on. In the client side, we use a class called the data view. So let's come up to our script block, and let's add in the data view and then do the data binding. So just like we have a page load event on the server side, the client side, if you declare a function called page load, and I'm not sure why it's indenting like that, but we'll go ahead and, well, that just seems like a lot. So let's just push it back here. If you declare a function called page load, it will call that at the point the page is ready to be interacted with. So the DOM has been built, all the you know, the objects representing the elements are there, and so on. Okay, now it's at this point we actually need our JavaScript libraries. So let's go ahead and add those in. So I'll come in here and I'll create a new folder. We'll call this scripts. And as I've mentioned, I've already downloaded the beta version of the client-side library, so I'll just include those. So I'll right-click on the scripts folder and say add existing item. And then if I go to C, dev projects, ASP.AJAX library beta 0911, and then grab scripts here, we should see, if I show all files, that we have several JavaScript files available for us. So just to be safe, I'm going to grab all of these. Okay, now I know there's only two that I really need, so I'll include those. One is Microsoft AJAX, which is right here. I'm going to add the debug version in. So I'll just drag and drop that onto my editor. Whoops, I don't know why that did that. Let's just go ahead and do that. And then the other one I need is the Microsoft AJAX templates. So let's grab the debug version of that and add that in. Okay. So we now have the JavaScript libraries included in our page, or linked in our page, so that we can actually go ahead and use the data view and do the data binding. So if we come back down to our page load, I want to actually create the data view. So let's say here var table view is equal to, and there's a couple ways to create it. I'll use here sys dot create dot data view, and then I'm going to pass in a CSS selector to for the what I want to bind to. In this case, I want to bind to the table body called products. So I'll just go ahead and say here pound products. So now this data view is bound to this table body element. And the next thing I need to do is indicate what data we're going to bind to this, and that will be our array of products. So I'll come over here and I'll say table view dot set underscore data, and then pass in products. Okay, so again, just a review here. We create the data view. We indicate the data view is bound to the products element. That's the table body. Then we go ahead and use this set data to indicate what data to bind to that element. The data binding mechanism will take place at this point. It will go and look for the elements inside of the products array for objects with product name, unit price, and units in stock. It will bind that here, and it'll create one row for each element in the array, and we should see that in our table. So if I've done everything correctly, I should be able to go ahead and run the page. And there is our data here now shown in our table. Right, so instead of me having to go and, you know, manipulate the DOM to populate the table, now I can just use this very simple templating mechanism to be able to achieve the same result. All right, so now let's set up a master detail relationship. So we have the table. Let's add a form below the table, and then when we click on a row in the table to select it, we'll have the selected data bound to the form. All right, so first thing to do to get this set up is to go add the form. So let's just add a couple break tags below our table and have the form pre-prepared, again, just to save you from watching me do a bunch of typing. Here we go. Right, so it's just a div with an ID called details, and we've got a field set with the labels and then the inputs for the individual items. And just like before, I have some hard-coded values in here. So we can go ahead and use the binding. We can use the binding inside of the value attribute. There's one little change we need to make, and we'll show that in a second, but let's go ahead and do the bindings we did before. So this will be our product name. Oops, let me just type that correctly. This will be our unit price. And then down here we'll have our units in stock. Now I mentioned we're binding to the value attribute. HTML is not really aware of the data binding mechanism. So the client-side libraries have code to extend attributes or create new attributes, and we're going to prefix value with a prefix called sys here to indicate this extended behavior. Now, so basically I'm using the value attribute out of a different XML namespace as opposed to the standard HTML one. So I just need to go indicate that namespace. So up here in our body tag, we'll say here XML NS colon sys is equal to, and then we'll indicate we're going to get the values out of a JavaScript library. So we'll say JavaScript and then library is sys. Okay. So that extends the behavior of the value attribute so that we can properly do the data binding. Just like before, we need to indicate that this div is a template. So we'll come and add the class here saying it's a sys template. We need to create the data view that will bind the data to the this div. So let's come up to the top here and go create that data view. And this will be called, this is the details element, and we'll call this the details view. So now instead of explicitly setting the data of the details view as we've done here with the table view, we'll do data binding between the views. So I can say here sys.bind. This will allow me to bind properties of one object to properties of another. In this case, it's going to be the views here. So I'll say bind the data property of the details view to the selected data property of the data view, or table view, sorry. And I think that's right. Okay, good. Okay, so in our page load, we're going to go and bind the bind the selected data property of the table view. Now, we haven't really said how to select an item in this view, right? And do I have too many? I think I have too many parentheses there. Let me just close that off. So what we'll do here is we'll do a couple different things. One, we're going to just modify the parameters to the constructor for the table view. So this allows us to set properties kind of like the object initializer syntax and link. So we'll set here that we want the initial selected index. Initial selected index to be 0. So select the first item by default. And then also, because we're selecting a row in the grid, we want a way to indicate that that row is selected. So we'll use a CSS class for that. So here we can say that the selected item class is selected. Right? That's the CSS class name that we want here. And I need to enclose these property values in curly braces. So let me go ahead and do that. And we should be good. Okay, so when we bind the table view, select the first item, and use this class to indicate the item has been selected. All right, now we want to be able to change the selected item. So down here in the table body, we can indicate an extended behavior for the table row. We can say here sys colon command equals select. Okay, so when I click on a table row, select it. That will change the selected data in the table view, and that will update the details view since the selected data property is bound to the data property of the details view. Right, so if we've done all this correctly, I should be able to run the page. The table will bind. The first row in the table will be selected, which will bind the form, and then the data from the table will be shown in the form. So let's go ahead and give that a shot. And there we go. So now we have master detail data binding here in our form. Now if I come into the soda and change the price, it has no effect up here, even though those pieces of data are actually bound to the same property of the same object. So we can actually address that fairly simply by adding in two-way data binding to our table and to our form. So let's come back here. When I first created the templates, I used the simple data binding syntax. That's one-way data binding only. So we can just change this for two-way data binding. I'll just do this for one of the fields. It's the same for all of them, but just to save from me typing it out all the time. So I'll say here, binding unit price. Actually, the syntax here for data binding in the client-side libraries is very similar to the syntax used in WPF. So if you've done a lot of WPF or Silverlight programming, the binding syntax should be very, very familiar to you. So let's go ahead and do the same thing down here. We'll change the binding for the unit price to be the two-way binding. Okay, let's run our page one more time. Let's go ahead and pick milk. And let's say milk has gone down in price. Say it's $15.50 now. And tab off of there, and you can see that that's been updated over here in our grid. And again, basically what's happening is the client-side libraries are observing the products array, and then when we change the value inside of one of the objects in the project, products array, then the page will rebind and show us the new value. Right, so no work on your end to get this to work properly. It's just to make sure that you use the right binding syntax to enable two-way data binding. So the last thing we need to do here is to modify our program instead of using hard-coded data to use data from a database. All right, so let's go back to our project here and let's create a web service. So I'll right-click and say add new item. And we will pick a web service. Let me just find that. Oh man, it must have gone past it here. It's usually near that. There we go. That's WCF service. I want a web service. And we'll call this guy the Northwind service. Okay, and I'm just going to have one file here, just to, again, for simplicity's sake. We could put a code behind or code beside. That's perfectly fine, but I'll just use one single file here. Now, we're going to be calling this web service from client-side JavaScript, so we need to enable this script service, or the ability to, one, create a client-side JavaScript proxy automatically for us, and two, to be able to serialize objects and deserialize objects from JavaScript notation to .NET notation. Okay, so it's very simple here in a web service to do that. You just add the system.web.script. .script services, system.web.script.services.script service attribute to your class that implements the service. Okay, and that'll enable that functionality for you automatically. We'll go ahead and, again, not required, but good practice is to, change your namespace here. Okay, and then I'll go ahead and just bring in an existing method that I've created here that will go talk to the Northwind database and just grab some product data for us using sort of standard ADO.NET code here. Right, so I'm going to go to the Northwind database of MySQL Express. I'm going to grab the product name, unit price, and units in stock from the products table. I'm going to order by the product name. I'm only going to grab the first seven. And then I'm going to actually populate this products DTO. So let's just go ahead and create that really quickly. A data transfer class. So I'll say here public class products. Just type that in correctly. Products DTO. And it's going to have three properties. So public property here. Oh, am I using .NET 3.5 or 4? Well, we'll find out in a second here. I might end up creating just fields. So public property product name. As string. Okay, so I'm actually trying to use the auto implemented properties, which is part of the .NET Framework 4, but when I created this project, I said use .NET Framework 3.5, so it's telling me I can't do that. So I'll just use fields instead. For this particular example, it won't matter. Okay, so then we'll say here public unit price. As let's go with double and then public units in stock as integer. Okay, so with that created, we should see here our code. And I do have one other error. I just need an import statement up here. So we need to say here imports system dot data, and let's do imports system dot data dot SQL client. And finally here, I'm not sure why it's saying product DTO I had, not products DTO. So let's just go ahead and change that. And now all of our squiggly should go away. Eventually. There we go. Okay, cool. So there's our service. Again, the key here, the real key, is to make sure that script enabled so that we can use it from our client side. All right, so what I want to do now is go ahead and use that in our page. So in sort of server side Ajax, I would go ahead and add a script reference to the script manager. But there's actually a way you can do this right as just a script link. So let's just go grab one of these and copy it. And go ahead and grab the name of our ASMX file here. And just throw this into our source. And as soon as that paste is completed, not sure what's taking so long. There we go. We'll add in slash JS debug. So basically, a script-enabled service can create the JavaScript required to call it. And the way you ask it for that JavaScript is to append slash JS or slash JS debug to the service name. So because this will resolve in grabbing some JavaScript, that'll get included in our page, and we'll be able to go ahead and call the service. Okay, so now what we want to do is we can get rid of our products array because we're no longer going to be using this hard-coded data. Our table view remains the same, our details view remains the same. Here, and now we're not going to set data to products, we'll actually go and call our web service. Okay, so let's just remove this. And then at the end here, we'll say, let's go call a function called show products. All right, so now let's add that function. So here we want to call our web service. So that will be northwindservice dot get products. So I did northwindservice dot get products. There we go. And I'm just having a little bit of IntelliSense. One of the things about the Visual Studio 2010 IntelliSense is that the space bar does not complete IntelliSense for some reason, which it does in the server-side code. You need to use the tab key. All right, so Northwind service, get products, and that does not require a parameter for the service call, but it does require a parameter in our JavaScript because we need to say, this is going to be called asynchronously, so we need to give it the name of the callback method. So we'll just say that this is show products complete. So once the service call is finished and we have the data, go and call this function here. And we'll create that function. That's going to receive as a parameter the array of products coming from the service. Right, and again, that'll automatically be serialized into a JavaScript array for us. So now we can do the binding to the table view. So we can say here, table view dot set underscore data products. And to make sure that our table view is visible, I'm just going to declare it outside of the page load function. So we'll say here var table view. And I think we should be good to go. All right, so we create the table view, we create the details view, we bind them together, then we show the products. And when we show the products, we get the products from the Northwind service. And then once the service call returns with the array of products, we go ahead and rebind. All right, so let's give this a shot. Control F5. So there you go. So there's our data coming from the products table of the Northwind database. And just like before, I can go ahead and choose new rows, and I can go ahead and change the prices here. Now, this didn't change the price in the database. All I've done is change the in-memory value of the property on the object in the array, right? So I'd need some other mechanism to actually go push that data back up to the server. Normally, that's a second service call or an additional service call. All right, so hopefully you've seen here that using the client-side data binding and the client-side templating mechanism in the newer versions of the Ajax client libraries makes it very simple for you to be able to define the look and feel of your page and then allow the data binding mechanism to go and populate those templates for you, either from hard-coded values, but normally from the result of a web service call. So for more videos like these, you can visit www.asp.net/learn. And if you have feedback, you can contact me at rwindsor@objectsharp.com, or you can contact Microsoft at tellus@microsoft.com. So thanks very much, and have a great day.